This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest NHL and Winnipeg Jets news is www.illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show from ESPNChicago.com, Scott Power. Scott, good afternoon. Thanks very much for joining us.
Good afternoon. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Scott, you know, the Blackhawks obviously made two big signings this week, inking Corey Crawford and Nicholas Chalmerson to contract extensions. Which of the two signings was more important for the team's long-term continued success?
I think the Blackhawks saw both important. They obviously, they're looking to create something very long-term here, and they did that with signing, you know, Brian Bickle early in the off season. And there's obviously two contracts coming up in the next few years with Taves and Kane. And I think Stan Bowman has this vision of keeping most of these guys together. And I was a little bit surprised on Crawford. I thought, you know, obviously he proved himself last season, but I thought he might have to do it again through a whole season. You know, obviously, you know, him and Ray Evans shared the net a little bit last year, and then Crawford took over in the playoffs and really excelled. But I thought maybe another full season and showed that he can be consistent again, you know, he'd get that upper echelon contract. And Johnson, obviously another guy who was drafted by the organization, and they find him to be, you know, he's been on both those Stanley Cup teams and been a permanent piece to what they're doing. So I think going into the offseason, Bowman had a plan that these three guys he wanted to lock up for, you know, for many years to come, and he was able to do that.
Scott, you interviewed Stan Bowman for your piece on one of your pieces on ESPN Chicago, and he kind of makes a mention with respect to the Corey Crawford extension. He mentions, you know, that the cap, kind of alluding to eventually going up, as everybody believes it will, especially with the Canadian TV deal up next year. Do you think that this contract was in large part dictated by the eventual rise in the cap?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously they have to plan for those two massive contracts still for Kane and Taves, and I think that everything that, you know, from Bickle to Johnson to Crawford to, you know, even some of the restricted free agents they signed, just a lot of things were in mind that this cap's going to rise and they can still, you know, obviously fit in what they're going to have to pay, you know, Kane and Taves, which you'd imagine is going to be $7.5 million or plus, and those guys are going to be locked up for a while too. And, you know, Bowman came out yesterday, he said on the Blackhawks website that he plans on, you know, both those guys being Blackhawks forever. And you would imagine they probably have two contracts left, and then they're both, you know, 24 and 25, and, you know, be paying them for a while. So I think a lot of this in mind, and Bowman won't come out and say it a whole lot, but I think that, I mean, they're assuming that the cap's going to go up a little bit, and then, you know, kind of continue to go up over the years.
Scott, to me, Corey Crawford has to be one of the most polarizing goaltenders. You know, he was invited to the Team Canada orientation camp as one of the five goalies who might possibly make the Olympic team. He's won the Stanley Cup, and he did a pretty good job. If you ask any of his teammates, they'd say he was one of the biggest reasons why they won the Stanley Cup this past year. Do you think he's actually as good as his contract would indicate, or do you think his success is really a function of how good the defense is in front of him?
There's obviously some defensive factor. I mean, the fact that him and Ray Emery, the numbers were so similar last year. I mean, Emery's a nice goaltender, and obviously, you know, he felt more healthy. But, I mean, for both those guys to have the years that they had, I think it says a lot about what the Blackhawks do defensively. I was impressed by Crawford, just that he was a lot more consistent than he had been in, you know, throughout his career, and obviously showed that throughout the playoffs. I'm curious, you know, I mean, he had a very, you know, above-average rookie season that dipped in the sophomore season, and then last year he rose again, and they were kind of hoping that he'd kind of turn the corner in his third year, but, you know, I think you don't pay for past performances, you're paying for the future, so to say that he's going to do it again, I think it's a slight gamble. I mean, I'd love to, if I was a Blackhawks, I probably would love to see it again this year before I throw out that kind of money, but, you know, with the rise in the cap, they obviously probably don't figure it's going to be a whole lot of money that they're giving to him in the end. So, I don't know. I think some of it's obviously the Blackhawks, and obviously they believe in him, but, you know, and he had an outstanding season, but I think he needs to prove it again that he's, I think for others to believe that he's the, you know, the elite goalie.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We're joined by Scott Powers of ESPNChicago.com. Scott, sticking with Corey Crawford, you know, how realistic do you think his chances are at actually making Team Canada for Sochi 2014? And then secondly, you know, how important, you know, or how do you think the opportunity that he may have to make the team is going to factor into his performance in the early part of the season?
I think his chances are, you know, above average too. I think it, I mean, he's obviously riding a very confident high at this point, coming off of what he did last season and during the playoffs. And you know, he's playing his best hockey that he's ever played. And I think that has to, you know, lead into the camp being invited. I'm sure boosts his confidence. And if he kind of continues to play the way he does, I mean, he was as good as it was last season. So I think, and then, you know, leading that into the season too, I think the Blackhawks. The one thing that affected him in the past was that he wasn't able to put away the bad goals. You know, he wasn't able to shake off those things, and inconsistency really kind of marked his game. And he's been able to, you know, to shed that last season. And I'm sure the confidence factor is a huge deal to him. So I think if he is to kind of sustain any kind of rough patch, you know, this season the Blackhawks, I'm curious to see how he bounces back. You know, he had very few bad games last season. When he did, the next game, he got right back on it. So, you know, if he were to have a couple games where he wasn't, you know, a couple of bad games came back to back or so, to see how he responds to that. Aside from that, you know, I think as long as the consistency is there and the confidence is there, he's obviously proven that, you know, he can be pretty good.
Scott, you know, we've talked about Corey Crawford. Of course, Nicholas Chalmerson was a player that kind of got a bunch of attention a few years back, and then San Jose sent him an offer sheet to kind of put the Hawks in a difficult position. He seems to really come into his own. Not that he wasn't great before, but he's really settled in on the second pairing for the Blackhawks. Do you think the contract that he signed for $4.1 million per year is fair for both sides?
Yeah, no, I think so. You know, he even marked that he thought that he maybe could get more money on the market. And I think a lot of these guys see what the Blackhawks are trying to do and trying to build a dynasty and, you know, putting these guys together for 5-6 years. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, Hosa and Keith and, you know, Sharp and everyone signed for a while now. I think that a lot of these guys are buying into what the Blackhawks are doing and are willing to give up a little bit of money to, you know, to try to win multiple cups. So, yeah, I think Jalmerson's proven himself. He's been a pretty consistent defenseman, and him and Johnny Oduya, that pairing's been pretty good. And I think that I think for the price, I think both sides are pretty happy.
Scott, you wrote about this earlier this week on ESPNChicago.com. Nicholas Jarmelson was set to become an unrestricted free agent after this season, and he decided to I guess, forego that and sign the five-year contract. Why do you think Jarmelson chose to sign the contract extension rather than, you know, test free agency and possibly make more money on the open market?
And he talked about, you know, it was nice to hear. You know, he just said, I have a lot of money. You know, it's not like I need a whole lot more. You know, mm-hmm. I'm pretty comfortable. And, you know, the fact that you've been with one organization throughout your career, you see it less and less. But it's been refreshing to see some of these guys that have been drafted, the Blackhawks, want to stay there. Obviously winning and having the success they've had throughout, you know, last four seasons, you know, it's kind of impacted it as well. But you've seen guys like Crawford and Bickle and Jonathan, who were drafted by the Blackhawks and want to remain with the organization. You know, obviously they've been good to them, and they've had a lot of success. So I think that was, you know, I think that's been a factor in all these guys. I don't think Bickle really tested the market. You know, Crawford and, you know, it's, you know, Crawford obviously didn't have an opportunity to, and Jonathan also opted not to do that. But a lot of these guys just, you know, they love playing for the Blackhawks, and, you know, going back to it again, it just, I think the opportunity to win multiple cups and create a dynasty and create something special for, you know, not even just this season and next, but for many years to come is pretty appealing to them.
Scott, we'll let you go on this last question. You mentioned, you know, creating a dynasty and having a run at multiple Stanley Cups. What gets in the way of this team repeating as Stanley Cup champions in 2013-14?
I think fatigue, for one. I think it's a big factor. It's obviously a shortened off season, you know, with them playing the last game, what, June 24th, and you know, and then you got the Olympics against, you have a mm-hmm. compact season. So, and then I think the key thing last year was, you know, Ray Emery was so clutch as that backup. And, you know, there's some questions about Nikolai Halbibull and if he can be that consistent. And, you know, I think going down the line, even Brian Bickle, who they've paid now as a top six forward, can he do this throughout a regular season? He showed, you know, during the playoffs, And then just this, I think stability and health. You know, they got Scott Free a little bit. You know, Sharp was injured a little bit, but you know, you guys got some guys growing in age and Hosa and Hanzus and Roosevelt, and obviously Hosa's health. It's got to be, you know, he hasn't been able to stay healthy the last few seasons. I mean, they really need him to, you know, be consistent on that ice. So I think there are multiple factors, but obviously that hangover and. You know, I think when they did it last time, they didn't have as many guys back, so that obviously impacted them. But they also had kind of a slow start where, you know, kind of hit some rough patches early and even struggled to get in the playoffs. So I think for them, I know one of the just talking Bowman and a couple of the guys have already said that a key start and kind of, you know, creating some space and maybe just having some comfortability early on maybe can impact how they, you know, the rest of the season goes and then maybe comfortably get into the playoffs.
Scott Powers from ESPNChicago.com. Thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Take care, Scott.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
Let's go to break. You're listening to TSN 1290 online at tsn1290.ca.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The podcast on tsn1290.ca.
Big thank you to Scott Powers from ESPNChicago.com for joining us to talk about the Blackhawks signing of Chalmerson and Crawford to contract extensions. In case you missed any of that interview or the interviews we conducted with Dennis Bayak or George Johnson of the Calgary Herald, the show will be available on both TSN1290.ca and on IllegalCurve.com. Of course, you can always just subscribe to the podcast version of the show. Check out iTunes, hit the subscribe button, get it sent to you each and every week automatically.
You know, the internet is really an amazing thing, isn't it?
Oh, boy.
Thank God for Al Gore.
It's just incredible. You know, everything, anything that happens on the show, Remus and Dave Manuk of IllegalCurve.com, they'll have it there for you. It's just, it's amazing, everything.
Yeah, Remus is really busy. During the last segment, we got an email about our baseball pool from Remus that said, this is our head-to-head pool, and it's now in the playoffs. I was under the impression that rosters were locked prior to the playoffs, meaning you can't pick up or drop players. Bold Flavors picked up Yosmero Petit. Is it Petit? I don't know how they pronounce the name.
I'm not sure. Did you see his performance last night?
Almost had a perfect game.
Yeah.
Is invalid and should be revoked. If he is on their roster during a playoff game, they would have an illegal roster, be awarded no points, and may God have mercy on their soul.
At least we're not...
He's hard at work in that room over there.
At least we're not putting too much emphasis on our baseball draft or anything along those lines. You know, may God have mercy on their soul.
To which Matthew Leibel of the pool replied, amen, and of course of the morning show.
Yeah, the big
Matthew
show.
Leibel, though, quickly before you get to the promotion. Matthew Leibel is the worst person to be in a pool with. Matthew, I'm in two baseball pools with Matthew Leibel. This one he pays attention to.
Why are you calling him Matthew?
Or Matt Leibel. Well, because it said, maybe it says, whatever. Anyhow, well, that's his name, Drew.
Oh, Matt.
Sorry, Andrew.
That's true. That's
anyhow, I'm in a pool with him, and this head-to-head, he pays attention to it. Matt Leibel's the kind of guy who, when he's not in contention in a pool, doesn't check his roster. So we're in a rotisserie pool, a 5x5, if people are familiar with fantasy baseball, and Leibel, for the second time in 3 years, and 1 year him not being in the pool, has abandoned his team, and everybody hates him again.
Not as a person, just as a fantasy player.
You know, those two are not mutually exclusive, Drew.
Fair enough. Well, anyways, we'll have to deal with we'll have to teach Matty proper fantasy baseball etiquette at a later date and time. It's a big week here on TSN 1290. As everybody knows, the Game X2 is currently underway where you can win fabulous tickets. You enter the contest if you get if they pick your number and you get called and you get a chance to enter. You win Jets tickets and the Ultimate Winnipeg Jets Game Day Experience 2, where you get to go behind the scenes of everything to do with the Game X2 contest. It's just terrific. The Winnipeg Limousine, Winnipeg Coach Service, they'll pick you up. The grand prize winner gets to come in, sit in on the TSN 1290 Big Show. Then it's the MTS Center. You're there for morning practice with Munsey and Bayak and Nighty. Then you join Rick Ralph for the Rona Roundtable. You get Jets gear gift cards. You get Boston pizza. You get Primo Lower Bowl tickets. You get a fully catered private suite when the Jets host the Chicago Blackhawks on November 21st. This week, in addition to when you enter, not only are we giving away tickets to the Jets game upcoming, but we're also giving you two tickets to the all-inclusive vacation at the amazing Playa Pesquero Resort in beautiful Holguin, Cuba. So you listen, 7:15, 8:15, 12:15, and 5:15 all next week, an opportunity to enter the contest, win Jets tickets, and win an all-expenses trip paid courtesy of Sunwing Vacation to Holguin, Cuba. I mean, that's terrific.
I've been to Holguin, Cuba. It's fantastic. The cigars, everything, the weather, the tree, the palm trees, everything. It's great. Whoever wins that,
you actually haven't been there.
There's no chance you've been there.
I've never left. I've never left the province of Manitoba. Actually,
I was going to say, are you allowed out of the country? I'm fairly certain that you're not.
No, I visit. I'm a frequent visitor to the United States, but no, that you know, it's. We've been promoting that contest obviously a lot on this radio station, and it's going to be a great opportunity for someone to win that that fantastic package.
Yeah, any of those prizes are just outstanding.
Did you mention the best part of the package is Ezzy goes with you to Cuba?
That's right. You have to take Ezzy on the trip with you. Yeah. You just have to smuggle him in your luggage. That's the only catch. You know, you just smuggle him in the luggage, but that's okay. Question for you boys: what do you think of the signings that the Blackhawks just made, signing Corey Crawford and Nicklas Hjalmarsson?
Hjalmarsson is a no-brainer, as I think Richie would agree to, in that he has solidified himself back into the top four. You've got Brent Seabrook, obviously, in there. You've got Duncan Keith there, and Johnny Oduya has made a name for himself again in that top four. Corey Crawford, I was a little bit surprised that he got that contract because of the fact that, as we were talking about off-air, for those who don't know, the Blackhawks have Antti Raanta in the system. He was a fantastic goaltender in the Finnish SM Liiga last year. He's 24 years old, and he's very highly touted. He's going to play in Rockford of the American Hockey League this year, but a lot of people think that he could be in the NHL as early as this year, maybe at latest next year. I was a little bit surprised because Corey Crawford has fluctuated a lot with his numbers. You can't take away from Corey Crawford how good he was this past season during the regular season. And obviously, Ray Emery, you know, came in and played, I think it was around 22 or 25 games, and he was really good as well. But I was a little bit surprised, Drew, that Corey Crawford got that amount of years, because I don't think, you know, you can necessarily say that he's earned that, in my opinion. But then again, Stan Bowman is the guy that makes the shots, but calls the shots, pardon me. So, Hjalmarsson, not surprised at all. Crawford, I was a little bit surprised that he didn't just get a 1 or 2 year deal.
You're the guy who takes the shots.
Yeah.
We know that, right?
Shots.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to do some Jello shooters right after the show.
You actually did them. Oh, God. The Corey Crawford contract was a bit surprising to me in the sense, you know, in one way, the term he got $6 million a year. And he gets that term that he gets is a little bit surprising to me. But on the other hand, Drew, a lot of these teams are moving towards paying these guys big money. You know, it was a trend for a long time to not pay goalies a lot of money. And now you see Nashville do it, and you see Boston do it. And the argument certainly could be Pekka Rinne, you know, Tuukka Rask in a different class than Corey Crawford. And Chicago would probably tell you otherwise. So they obviously like what they've seen. I wouldn't have given him the contract. I'm not completely convinced that he's the guy, but it doesn't mean he isn't the guy. I just don't know if I'm that convinced yet, and you wonder if something else couldn't have got it done. But
who's a better goalie in your mind, Corey Crawford or Jimmy Howard? Because the rap on both of them is they're only as good as the teams playing in front of them.
They've both improved on a yearly basis. Like, I think Jimmy Howard is a heck of a lot better than he was a couple of years ago. I really do. And I think Crawford's improved as well. And so if they have that, I think both teams, and Jimmy Howard's another player exactly, I think both teams, this is when you get into the depths of the organization. They know these people better than anybody else, and they feel like their work ethic and their demeanor and their long-term ability is such that they have earned this kind of a contract. I don't know if an outside observer of another organization, not media, could tell you that. So, Stan Bowman and the Chicago organization, they can evaluate talent. Yep. Detroit certainly can evaluate talent. So I don't have a huge issue with it. I don't necessarily think I would have given it up, but I don't have a huge issue with it. The Hjalmarsson contract to me is good value. I mean, you know, Nicklas Hjalmarsson is going to skate, he's going to hit, he's going to defend. He's not going to give you 40 points. You don't need him to give 40 points. He fits in perfectly into what that team needs to do. They defend. He's a physical player, and he's reliable, and 4.1 a year, hitting UFA status, 4.1 a year, I think is really fair value. He would have got probably 4.5 to 5 on the open market. But as Scott Powers said, you have to give him credit. He said, I got a lot of money. I don't need $28 million if I have 24. That idea. Yeah. Because he's happy where he is. He knows he has a chance to win. And you can't not like that if you're a hockey fan.
And he gets to play an easier role. I mean, if he was signed as an unrestricted free agent, he might be signed to play number one minutes on maybe not as good of a team. This team, he's playing second line minutes or second line defensive minutes with great defensemen next to him.
Yeah, and it depends on who they're pairing up and such. But yeah, I mean, your opportunity right to win.
Yeah.
And I think the most important thing is they've lost Dave Boland. They've lost Michael Frolik, you know, this past summer, but they're still an elite team.
Sure.
The Chicago Blackhawks are an elite team, and there's some question marks, you know, how are you going to fill those roles? Guys like Andrew Shaw, Brandon Bolig, LeBlanc, who I believe won the Hobie Baker, if I'm not mistaken. Some of these younger guys are going to have to step up and all that, but they're still an elite team. You've got arguably the best defense in the NHL. You've got so much talent there with Patrick Sharp, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Marian Hossa. And this team is going to be a Stanley Cup contender again. I think that's the most important thing. They've decided to, lock up the guys that they feel were a huge part of it. And Corey Crawford could very well prove us wrong. I think he proved a lot of people wrong by, you know, winning that number one goaltending job. I think at points last year, it looked like Ray Emery was going to become the number one goalie, and they stuck with Crawford, and they ended up winning the cup.
One thing to note about the Chicago team is the value they have on defense. The Rangers do a good job of this, too. Seabrook 5.8, Keith 5.5 in terms of cap hit, and Chalmerson's going to be 4.1 next year, 3.5 this year. You have Seabrook at 5.8, Keith at 5.5, and Chalmerson at 4.1 starting next year. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have Enstrom at 5.75, Bufflin at 5.2, and Bogosian at 5.1?
And that's it in today's edition of Rhetorical Questions Asked by Richard Pollock, because I think we all know the answer to that one. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about Nazem Kadri and his continued contract negotiations with the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Two hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN1290. You can listen online at TSN1290.ca. I'm your host, Rue Mandel, joined in studio by Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. Producer Tim gets us on and off the air like the expert that he is. You can follow us on Twitter at IllegalCurve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website is www.IllegalCurve.com. Reminder, later tonight, 9:30 p.m. puck drop from beautiful Penticton, British Columbia. It's the Winnipeg Jets Young Stars against the Edmonton Oilers Young Stars. And you could hear it exclusively on TSN 1290. Join Dennis Bayak, Brian Munns, and Shane Knighty as they have the call from Penticton, British Columbia. And, of course, NFL football tomorrow on the station. Really, we're getting the summer doldrums. You know, summer's always a little bit of a quieter time. I mean, it's just not as busy as it is once fall hits, when, you know, all the sports pick up and everything else. I mean, I love spending time with Paul Edmonds, listening to him call a Goldeyes game in the summer. But other than the Goldeyes, it's pretty quiet. So now that, the Goldeyes season, unfortunately, they fell a little bit short this year. It's going to be hockey, then football, and baseball, and basketball. Yeah. It's just going to be chaos from here on out.
I feel like the off season really opens up the more time for Ezzy, and that's more escapades.
Escapades, yes, but not yet.
Sorry.
Because we don't have the music queued. We don't have the clown music queued.
So we're for sure going to be doing this every week, or is it just going to be whenever there's an escapade to talk about?
Well, fortunately, that happens every week.
Yeah, that's true.
That's one and the same. So, yeah. I mean, if you were to somehow cut down on the escapades, I suppose it might become a monthly or a bi-monthly segment.
Right.
But as long as you continue to do things that really the normal person would say, what in God's name is he thinking? We'll probably have to do it on a weekly basis.
Right, and we're going to talk about the Apple this week. And it happened a couple of weeks ago, but I know you guys want me to bring it to the airwaves, even though it's just been, you know, on my Twitter account. But I'm willing to talk about it.
Okay,
that's great. You know what? I'm willing to entertain. If people, you know, want to hear about, for some reason, want to hear the stupid things I do
on
a regular basis,
I do.
Then and you guys want to do it, that's fine. I'll do it.
I have to assume that most people listen to the show for that reason, not for the analysis we provide. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going to Toronto, Nazem Kadri and the Toronto Maple Leafs continue to be in a holding pattern as it comes to the negotiations. Kadri, a restricted free agent with no arbitration rights. According to Bob McKenzie, TSN's hockey insider, Some call him now Bobo McKenzie, because that's what Kadri referred to him on Twitter as.
We should not be calling Bob McKenzie, just for the record, Bobo ever again.
No. Well, that's I never called him that once. That's what Nazem Kadri referred to him as. Bob McKenzie reported that Kadri is asking for multiple years at $5.5 million.
Yeah, Tavares money.
Tavares money. The Leafs are countering with a two-year bridge contract, similar to what P.K. Subban signed in Montreal last season. The question I have for you guys is, you know, is one side in the right and one side in the wrong, or is it just that both sides are continuing, you know, just playing this out for until they get into really, I guess, training camp, which starts Wednesday?
Richie, I want to get your take on this as well, but I feel like Nazem Kadri is overplaying his cards, and he doesn't have a lot of leverage here. Like you mentioned P.K. Subban, Drew, and it is analogous because P.K. Subban signed a two-year deal when his agent and himself were probably looking for more deals. But, you know, T.J. Oshie, Matt Duchene, David Perron, these are all guys that also signed bridge contracts. Go back to Zach Bogosian, go back to Blake Wheeler, also signed bridge contracts. I don't think Nazem Kadri, even though he's an excellent player, he's got a lot of potential, he's young, and he looks like a pretty good, you know, first-round draft pick for the Leafs there after, you know, he bounced around from the Toronto Marlies of the AHL back to the Leafs. He had a good season last year, was almost at a point per game. But is he a $5.5 million player? Like, he's not John Tavares. He's not an elite player in that class. I mean, John Tavares, you're talking about, you know, arguably a top-five player forward in the NHL. So I'm not sure, you know, what they think the end game here is going to be. Like, the Leafs want to sign him to a bridge contract or give him less money for more years, and he's asking for $5.5 million, Richie. It seems like there's a disconnect there, similar to P.K. Subban.
Like, what would you do if you're Dave Nolan? You're going to give this guy a five-year, six-year deal when he's proven to have one good season so far? Get out of town here. You're going to sign a bridge deal. Get it over with, to sign it and focus on being a better player. Look at P.K. Subban's going to make a killing. That's the whole idea of the bridge contract. You can Eric Johnson it and not play that well and not get a huge deal, or you can P.K. Subban it and get a huge deal.
What's amazing about what P.K. Subban did last year coming out of the lockout is that he held out, and then he didn't play for the first, I think, three or four games, and then he won the Norris Trophy.
Yeah.
So it ended up working out pretty well for him. And the thing with P.K. Subban, guys, is that P.K. Subban and his agent, and I mean, you could say he took a risk, and they won. I mean, after this year,
so far they've won,
he's going to be a $6 or $7 million
defenseman. Yeah, and then the point is this. You have the opportunity. If I'm the Leafs, I got all the leverage in the world. Sit out. I know it might hurt my team in the short term, but Dave Bolin can play second line if you need him to. Sit out.
Are we finally seeing a time where general managers are properly using their leverage?
No, none of them really do. But I mean, you know, but at the same time, this is one instance where it might be the case. You can't go to arbitration. He's got no leverage. He makes no money if you don't sign him. He has no opportunity. Can't go to the open market. He can't. So what's going to happen?
He's eventually going to cave and sign.
Nobody's going to RFA sign him.
You wouldn't think so.
No.
It seems like such an unfortunate situation that you have a player who will miss training camp, possibly miss some games, and then he's eventually going to sign. It's like it's almost like the lockout. I mean, everybody knew what the end game of the lockout was going to be. We didn't need to miss 3 months of regular season hockey. And everybody knows what's going to happen here. Most likely, there will be a two-year deal, and he's going to make, I don't know, what, $2.75, $3 million, whatever it is, and he's not going to get what he's asking for. So why do this, and why waste your own time and your opportunity to have a nice training camp? And, you know, the Leafs made the playoffs last year after missing the playoffs for 9 years. It just seems like to me, you know, as Richie said, he doesn't have the leverage, and it's really going to be kind of almost like a useless endeavor.
So Bob McKenzie reported on Twitter the part about that
Bobo?
That Kadri's representatives were asking for the Tavares contract, the $5.5 million.
Right.
Here's this bothers me also. So Kadri responded to that message with the false Bobo comment, which, I mean, besides being, you know, somewhat degrading, then he went and deleted the tweet, of course, because, you know, that really that gets rid of it altogether.
Did Tyler Seguin steal his phone and tweet it?
At least he didn't say he was hacked.
Yeah, okay.
You know, at least he didn't say he was hacked. This is what Kadri, you know, this is his quote. I just don't want people to think I'm unfair when really I'm not being selfish at all. I just don't know where those numbers are coming from, to be honest. Not many people know the truth.
Well, first off, his agent would be stupid to not ask for that contract. He's going to ask for it. He's not going to get it. Now his agent would be stupid to not realize that at some point you have to sign a bridge deal and then have your player prove himself. Because you get arbitration at the end of 2 years. You'd get arbitration at the end of next year, but they at least probably don't want to sign you to a one-year deal and have you go to arbitration.
Probably not. So do you think – so let me further that question. Do you think this gets settled by early in training camp, or does this last – and you know, it proves that they were just deadline hunting the whole time? Or does this last into the regular season and, you know, he might miss some of the regular season?
I think he doesn't miss more than – I don't think he misses any games. No. So it'll smarten up. He won't miss any games. He might miss – I don't think he'll miss any games from not being signed at that time. If he signs late and the team wants to hold him out to get in shape, that's fine, although most of these players are in shape anyways. But I think he signs before the season starts.
I agree. I think he won't miss – he might miss a couple of preseason games, but I don't think he'll miss any regular season games. I just don't think there's much he can do about this. If they're not going to give him really the amount of money that he's looking for, he has to accept that bridge contract or possibly miss part of the season.
So what's a fair bridge contract for Nazem Kadri?
We were just talking about it. I mean, somewhere in the realm of 2 years, $6 million. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. 2 years, $6 million. Around there.
Right, and he's a huge part of the Leafs' future. And he deserves a fair contract, but this is a byproduct of the salary cap system when you just can't offer a guy who only has one good year money. And is this not also similar to like a Ryan O'Reilly? I mean, Ryan O'Reilly, he's saying, look, we had a bad season. Colorado had a bad season. Stastny wasn't good. And I had a good year, and I want $5 million a year. And everyone's saying, okay, you know what, Ryan? You had a good year, but you just had one good year. We're not going to pay you as one of the top forwards. It's kind of similar in this situation where Nazem Kadri and I.
Then Jay Feaster said, we'll pay you like one of the best centers in the NHL.
Right, right. And again, Richie, I'm not taking, just so people know, Nazem Kadri was a great junior player. He was great for the Canadian junior team, and he had an excellent year last year. And I think he's got a lot of talent. He's got a great shot. He wasn't that good in the playoffs, but he's got lots of speed. And he's a guy. Yeah, he's got 30 goal a year upside potential. He's really young, and you know, for the Leafs, they need him. He's a huge part of the future, as I mentioned. But again, you're asking for just too much money. Really.
The Leafs have under $5 million left to sign both Kadri and Friends and Cody Friends, and so if Kadri gets three. Then Franzen's got left with 1.89 or whatever it is. I mean, I don't think he accepts that. So somebody's got to move. Some other domino's got to fall. But, you know, that's one thing. You know, as he talks about the cap, eats into the other players' contracts. So that's the issue, right? The issue is who's getting paid and at the expense of who.
Because that's what the Leafs are.
At the expense of whom.
Yeah. Good grammar, though. Right. Alrighty. Because that's really what, nobody's talking about Cody Franson, but, I mean, he's important to the Leafs on the defense. I mean, you look at that defense and
yes,
yikes.
I agree. Absolutely.
I mean, that defense is nothing that you are excited about by any stretch of the imagination.
You're not tweeting about the defense.
Right, no. We've talked about this before. Ideally, you'd probably like Cody Franson to maybe be a solid, above-average bottom pairing defenseman, but on the Leafs, he's on your second pair, whether it's with a Gunnarsson or Phaneuf, even though Phaneuf and Gunnarsson like to play together. And so, I mean, he's a huge piece of the Maple Leafs, and it's just really unfortunate because, you know, for all the, you know, Toronto Maple Leafs bashing, everybody jokes around, the Leafs had a pretty good year. I mean, guys, again, the Leafs almost upset the Bruins in the first round. We all remember that. It wasn't that long ago. So this is just a negative distraction when it unfortunately doesn't have to be. I look at it and I really think it's unfortunate because the Leafs are heading in the right direction finally. And this is just kind of, you know, putting an anchor on that.
It'll get done and taken care of. I think the best thing to come of this is Bobo.
You think Bobo?
That's the best thing to come of this for sure. Yeah, it's going to be it's a regular contract negotiation. It's just blown out of proportion because the center of the universe, some up and coming alleged star who's not going to sign. He'll sign for 2 years, $6 million. They'll get, and we'll see what he really is in 2 years. And I don't really know yet what he is.
We'll leave it there. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Oh.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. We welcome into the studio, joining us behind the operator's desk, Michael, the station Remus.
Well, look who we have here, Michael Remus. As he's been having problems with his headphones all show, Remus is like, oh, I'll help you fix it. Didn't really help him. And then Remus trots in, hour three, with his own headphones that he's been sitting in the other room with, not using.
Remus, I've got beef with you. The show's starting. I go up to Michael and I say, are there another pair of headphones available at somewhere in the station?
These are my own. I brought them from home.
You had them in the other room the whole time.
I could have used them. You weren't using them.
I turned up the volume on yours. They're fine.
Remus strolls in here with a brand new set of Beats by Dre.
I would never wear Beats by Dre. Those are so overpriced. And second of all, I'm afraid of germs. I don't want other people using my headphones.
Really? What do you think Yezzy has on his ears that you don't?
I wouldn't even touch that one. Yeah, I'm
not allowed to say that on air.
Have we not been friends long enough? We've shared hotel rooms before. We're not good enough friends that I can't wear your headphones?
It's true.
No, we're not good enough friends.
Okay, I guess I know where we stand.
You're wearing headphones right now.
Yeah, is there anybody who you would like wear your headphones?
I mean, look, if there were...
I know, Hustler.
There were no other...
Hustler. Hustler, 100%.
Hustler,
no question about it.
Hustler's
Rick Ralph, for sure. Rick Ralph wants to borrow your headphones. Oh, sure, Rick, have some of my headphones. Hustler, who else? Lawless? Yeah, would you give to Lawless?
Oh, Gary, yeah.
You would.
Before all those guys.
And you'd give to Munns, too. 100% you'd give to Munns.
Stop.
Unbelievable.
And Shane. Oh, but Ezzy.
In Remus's defense, all those guys are probably a little bit higher up on the cleanliness scale than Ezzy is.
Well, Drew.
Wow.
Low blow right there.
That was a little below the belt.
Ezzy showers like the rest of us with a hose.
You'll never get
saying,
to live that
one down. I can only actually, for those who aren't here, I mean, basically these headphones, I can only hear out of one side of them, but that's it's fine.
Why you've had one of your better shows.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You can only hear what I say, not Drew.
Yeah. Let's go to NHL news and notes, Remus. Can you get that ready for us in time?
Did you hear when Drew said he loved you? Or is it wrong ear?
NHL news and notes.
Restricted free agent Mikael Boedker is reportedly about to re-sign with the Phoenix Coyotes. He's been not holding out, obviously, but he's been without a contract as they deadline hunt approaching the start of training camp. How important to the Coyotes is Mikael Boedker this year?
Important. I mean, Bob McKenzie is saying just about 2 hours ago that they're close to a two-year deal. I think we actually speculated a couple weeks ago that Boedker would get a two-year deal at a reasonable term.
Hang on. A bridge contract?
Exactly. Well, he's actually been in the league longer than that. I believe this is like his fifth. It's like fifth year or sixth year in the league. I'll check into that. But in terms of Boedker, Drew, you know, you're getting a guy who's talented. He's certainly talented, but he's, you know, he hasn't really produced at a high level. He had a good playoffs, not last season, obviously the season before, especially good against Blackhawks and Corey Crawford, who we've spoken about the show at length. But a guy, I think, provides him value on a cheaper short-term deal. I think it's logical for both sides. He can't demand a big money deal, and Phoenix is certainly not going to pay him that. But they have opportunity, and he gets to play with Mike Ribeiro very possibly. And Mike Ribeiro is one of the best passers in the National Hockey League, so it could be good for him on a future deal.
Yeah, and they're not the Jets, for example, are stronger on the left wing than the Phoenix Coyotes. You've got Boedker there. As you mentioned, Richie will probably play with Mike Ribeiro on the top line, or maybe he'll play on the second line. But they're not really strong there. They're stronger up the middle with Ribeiro coming in. You've got Antoine Vermette there. You've got Martin Hanzel. The Phoenix Coyotes, as you guys know, missed the playoffs last year, and they struggle to score goals. They're an excellent defensive team, and they've got a good group of defensemen there, and Mike Smith is a fantastic goalie. But Boedker is a huge part of that, and I think he knows that. But Boedker, we've talked about this a little bit on the show. He's a guy that leaves a little bit to be desired. He was a high draft pick, and he's had some varying degrees of success, call it that, in the NHL. And he's a pretty good player. He's an offensive player. He's not exactly what you'd call a two-way player. But he's a huge part of the success of the ultimate success of the Coyotes.
And just so you know, I mean, this next contract will be a sixth NHL year. So, I mean, he's close to actually accruing UFA status. But the point we've talked about a couple of weeks ago is that Boedker had arbitration rights and decided not to use them, which is interesting. Him and Cody Franzen both. So, interesting situations there. I was going to get a deal done. Everybody will be happy. But surprising that he would have not opted. I think almost every case, an agent will opt for the arbitration to be able to lock down a contract for the player.
Another signing this week in the NHL, the Capitals, Washington Capitals, re-signed forward Marcus Johansson to a two-year, $4.0 million contract.
I mean, it's fine. What Marcus Johansson, what is he really? He's a smallish, you know, skilled player. The Caps generally don't overpay. I think McPhee actually does a pretty good job of that. And they have holes up front now. They did bring in Grabowski, but they need to be able to still provide, you know, produce offense. And Johansson's a smallish guy. You know, he has his moments. I don't love him, but what, 2 years at $4 million? I mean, it's not going to kill you.
Yeah, it's a pretty fair contract. You know, Richie mentioned he's a smallish guy, an offensive guy. He's actually a pretty good defensive forward as well. And it's one of those contracts. He's still, you know, people think he's been around forever. He's only 22, I believe. He's still, you know, on kind of the upward slope, yeah, of his learning curve as an NHL player. But I mean, the thing that concerns me with the Washington Capitals again is goaltending. Even though Braden Holtby has been good, can he replicate that?
Same
that
old
was,
with
that
him.
That was his, you know, breakout year last year. And, you know, are you going to be able to replace, you know, the offensive Mike Ribeiro with Grabowski? And what is he going to do to that team? And, you know, Ovechkin, you know what you're going to get out of him. He was the MVP last year. But, you know, it's a good signing. It maybe happened a little bit late. Maybe we expected it earlier in the summer. But, you know, Johansson's done a good job, and he's definitely gotten better, you know, as his career has gone along. So it makes sense.
He's still an RFA at the end of the deal. I mean, $2 million per year is not going to kill you. And that team's issue is not Marcus Johansson. They probably have too many guys. You know, they just, yeah, identity-wise, you always wonder with them, right?
You look at their roster, and seems year in, year out, you're like, okay, what's this team's ceiling? Maybe second round?
Yeah, it's what the Capitals are a great roster in an NHL 2014. And I'm not trying to be funny. In all honesty, skill wise, each player a lot of skill. Collectively as a unit, I don't know why. You know, do I expect anything different year after year after year after year of playoff failures? And I don't. What's changed? I mean, Grabowski instead of Ribeiro. That's in reality all that's changed with this team. You look at their back end. You could point out some holes quickly on Washington. I mean, Jack Hillen, Carlson, Green, those guys are going to be your offensive guys. You know, is Steve Oleksii going to have a big role in this team? John Erskine is still going to play some significant minutes. You know, Ulsner and Carlson obviously are really good young defensemen. And Green, you know, gives it back on the back, you know, in his own zone, what he gives you up front. You look at the offensive squad. The core has been together for a long time. Why do I expect anything different? So you bring Johansson back, and that's fine. I mean, it's not no issue, but... Why would I, if I'm a Washington fan, would I believe this team is going to be going to the next level?
Moving to Edmonton, where general manager Craig McTavish says that Alex Hemsky will stay with the Edmonton Oilers this season. He's entering the final year of a two-year, $10 million contract. It's his 11th year with the Oilers. Do you expect Hemsky to actually finish the year with the Oilers, or do you think he becomes a trade deadline candidate?
Well, it depends on the team. I mean, if you have Alex Hemsky in your squad, $5 million, and he's a UFA at the end of the year. But if you're the Edmonton Oilers and you have really close playoff contention, Alex Hemsky is providing great playmaking ability, not getting injured, hopefully, and tossing in some goals, then why would you get rid of him? You want to be a contender this year. So when you make proclamations about getting rid of guys or trying to clean house and all that, you can't always go through with it because there may not be any value there. And Alex Hemsky, for whatever you want to say about him, is a very talented player. I'm sure there's a lot of teams who wouldn't mind having him for the right price. So if you're the Oilers and want to contend this year, why would you want to be getting rid of a guy like that? You know, if you're at the end of the year, you suck for the umpteenth time in a row, then you trade him and you get something back. At the trade deadline, you can get something back probably just as much as you could get right now.
Guys, he is a perfect candidate to be a rent-a-player at the trade deadline.
But what if they're in it?
Well, if they're in it, then he's a huge part of it. But I think even if they are in it, he could be a trade a great rent-a-player candidate because of the fact that he'll be a UFA. And then you've got Jordan Eberle and Nail Yakupov ahead of him on the depth chart. And, you know, this is the thing. He's not factoring in as a huge part of the future. That's really – McTavish is saying that he's not going anywhere right now. What else is he going to say, right? He's not going to say – he didn't trade him. Sean Horkoff is gone. Mm-hmm. He was the guy that they decided to move out. And it's funny, too. You know, Mac T, when they announced that he was coming back, he said he was going to do a lot of bold things. He hasn't really done anything that bold to this team. I mean,
That's why I don't understand why these general managers, especially, you know, Kevin Lowe and Craig McTavish, they come in and make bold proclamations. We're changing things around, and then they don't do anything.
Well, they signed Ferentz and they traded for Perron. I mean, it's not crazy, but I mean, they made some moves. But right. The problem is I look at this roster and I see a bunch of guys who are small on up front. Aside from Taylor Hall, Eberle's small, Gagne's small, Perron's small, Nugent Hopkins is small.
And injured.
But, you know, that these are all factors. Like, can you compete against big, tough teams in the playoffs? Like, can you go up against LA and those massive teams who control the boards, control below the hash marks, and compete?
And a guy like Andrew Ferentz, Richie, you're right. I mean, the Andrew Ferentz signing, even though it might not be quote-unquote bold, it was a good signing. And we were talking about how we would have loved to see the Jets get Andrew Ferentz because he fills that, you know, the second pair D role. But a guy like Andrew Ferentz, he's been in the trenches. He's proven himself in the playoffs for the Boston Bruins and before that the Calgary Flames. So he's proven himself, and that was a great signing. But again, they're still small. And the ultimate success of the Edmonton Oilers, whether they make the playoffs and go anywhere, is going to be, is Devan Dubnyk, you know, going to give them elite goaltending? Is their defense going to be better? Because their defense was atrocious last year, and you know there were holes on the bottom line, forward line, so they've really got to, you know, turn it around, and you know, new coach and all, so it's a big year for the Oilers. They're expecting to make the playoffs because, like we talked about, this team has been rebuilding for what, 8 years now?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Last thing in news and notes for this week, the New York Islanders are set to make John Tavares their new team captain after Mark Streit was signed by the Philadelphia Flyers in this offseason. Is this a no-brainer?
Yeah, what's not to like? The guy committed to long-term, below market value as far as I'm concerned. He has gotten better every year. His skating has improved. He can pass. He can shoot. He's a superstar. It's going to be what you build your team around for the next 15 years, and you better make him the captain because he's ready for it.
Yep. I don't think anybody was surprised when John Tavares was named captain. Huge fan of his game. He will be on Team Canada's Olympic team, and he had another good year last year. For Jets fans who got to see him play last year, you know, he was clearly the best player on the ice, so absolutely a no-brainer, Drew.
Alrighty. When we come back after these commercial messages, we're going to talk about all the odds for the NHL teams to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They've been published. All 30 NHL teams, what are the odds, yes or no, that they're going to make the playoffs? You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Waterfalls.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. A reminder, next Saturday, Day of Atonement. We all have a lot to atone for, so we're going to take the day off. If it's good enough for Sandy Koufax, it's good enough for us. So the Illegal Curve Hockey Show will return 12 noon on the 21st of September. That'll be our fantasy hockey preview show. So you can put that in your calendars, get you set up for your fantasy drafts. September 21st. And then the 28th, we're going to do NHL season preview show, the 3 hours where we go team by team, division by division.
Yes, I have a question that I need to bring up with you, Drew. You know, you mentioned we're going to be doing we're going to be doing our fantasy show, which we've done. I believe this is going to be our fourth year that we've done the fantasy preview show. As you know, you were there. But I have a question for you. We did our fantasy football pool at Tails on Corden. On Monday. Were you not wearing that shirt on Monday?
Oh, that's true. Good point.
I was.
Yes.
So that's
I've done laundry between Monday and Saturday.
There's no way you did laundry before.
So, but you're wearing.
There's no way I did laundry in 5 day window.
I don't know. It was on Tuesday, not Monday.
But does that get into the laundry cycle? Like, it's almost like you did when did you do your laundry?
That shirt was thrown in the corner and you picked it up on the way to the studio this morning.
Absolutely.
So you're saying that shirt's been
washed?
You
guys should know by now how neat and organized my closet is. I'm not one to do a willy-nilly t-shirt toss. I keep my closet very neat and organized.
Just for everybody who, you know, obviously can't see Drew right now, he's wearing a Toronto Blue Jays shirt.
I'm not a fair weather fan.
He was wearing it on Monday, and I'm with Richie. I don't think it's gone through a cycle.
No chance.
No one asked you. First of all, he was wearing it on Tuesday, and
Tuesday. Yeah, so that's even quicker. 4 days? I don't think nobody has a 4-day laundry cycle.
With Rosh Hashanah, I don't think you watched it.
Drew needs to atone.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys can think whatever the hell you want. It doesn't really bother me. But I assure you that on Thursday night when I was watching the football game, I didn't have a Rosh Hashanah dinner on Thursday night. I had a lunch. On Thursday night while I was watching the football game, I was also able to multitask and do laundry.
Reem, are you buying that Drew has washed that shirt since Tuesday's draft?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, see, exactly. Come on. There's not
watch. Sorry, I know I'm throwing you under the bus here, Drew, but that's what we do. We throw each other under the bus.
You're right about that. The online sportsbook Bovada. Oh, hang on. That's the bus running me
Bovada
over.
Bovada watch?
No, that's Movado.
Okay.
The online sportsbook Bovada has listed all the odds for all 30 NHL teams to make or miss the playoffs in 2013-14. So you go through this list, and I mean, you know, obviously they have the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, if you want to bet on the Chicago Blackhawks to make the playoffs, it's going to cost you $1,000 to win $100.
Sure.
But when you look at the Winnipeg Jets,
well, that math doesn't work.
Well, it does. That's how odds work. Is you have to, I mean, if it's not a good bet.
Thanks, Drew.
The Winnipeg Jets, if you bet $100 on the Winnipeg Jets to make the playoffs, you would make $375. To me, that seems like some decent value right there.
And you should do it. The Jets are going to make the playoffs this year. So I would put $100 down on that.
Those odds seem like something, I'm not a gambling man, but I mean, that seems like something you would want to jump at, considering that the Jets are in a division with seven teams, four of which make the playoffs, taking into consideration that there's a crossover. But I mean, the team that we're comparing them to, Dallas, Colorado, Nashville, those teams, I mean, they may be better than the Jets. They certainly may be worse. And so if the value's that's pretty, I think the Jets can be better than those odds would indicate.
Yeah. When we were doing the pre-show research and this jumped out to me. Yeah. I mean, you know, that seems like a decent bet. Of course, you know, $10 would pay you $37.50. One would pay you $3.75. It's all on a scale there. But to me, that seems like pretty decent odds, you know, that the Winnipeg Jets, you know, and then you look like a team like Tampa Bay here, even odds to make the playoffs. They're playing in a much harder division. You know, they're playing, you know, with a division with Boston and the Canadiens and the Senators and the Red Wings.
Yeah.
You know, just some of these odds seem a little bit odd to me, pardon the pun, regarding how this works out, especially with that, you know, terrific value on the Winnipeg Jets there.
And all kidding aside, and I think I picked the Columbus Blue Jackets to be in the bottom, let's say, two or three teams in the NHL last year. They were very close to making the playoffs. Now, you can say whatever you want. It was a lockout, shortened season, whatever. But at the end of the day, there's parity in the NHL. And a lot of unexpected things can happen, such as the Columbus Blue Jackets. I mean, you can't tell me there was one person that was predicting Sergei Bobrovsky was going to win the Vezina Trophy last year.
Well, the Columbus Blue Jackets are a better team this year than they were last year.
Absolutely.
They're paying, I mean, bet $100 on the Columbus Blue Jackets, get $250 if they make the playoffs. They're at plus $250 odds to make the playoffs. Again, that seems like decent value right there.
Hey, what have they done? They've signed Nathan Horton, Richie.
Yeah.
They picked up Gabrick last year.
Won't be there until December, Horton, but yeah, I agree. Ryan Murray now, yeah.
So there, it's. I really think you should take the odds with a grain of salt, right? And I think we are, and I think most people will. And hey, a lot of people are saying that the Winnipeg Jets are going to be in the bottom tenth of the league. I don't agree with that. I think the Jets can make the playoffs. Obviously, I don't know if they will, but I would predict. Yeah, I think the Jets are going to make the playoffs this year. A lot of people don't agree with me. So I guess, you know, you can take from that what you want. Really, is what I'm saying.
That's fair. Good. I'm glad you can take from that. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and another one, you know, for the Leafs not to make the playoffs. And I don't think the Leafs are going to be a playoff team this year. I think their defensive shortcomings are going to be too much for them to overcome. That pays $100 bet on that pays $175 for them not to make the playoffs. Another one that's just jumping out at me, like, you know, that's not a clear-cut sure thing on the Leafs making the playoffs.
For sure. I agree. But, I mean, yeah, those odds aren't necessarily a sure thing. But with Detroit and Boston in the division, then you look at the next two spots and you say, oh, Ottawa and Montreal. Yeah, it ain't easy.
Well, I mean, if you look at that division, to me, you know, like you said, Detroit, Boston, Ottawa, and Montreal are all better than the Toronto Maple Leafs. It wouldn't shock me. I mean, you know, Tampa Bay, whose offense would you prefer? I mean, both teams have
Montreal,
defensive.
You could go back and forth on them in Toronto. But, I mean, Tampa Bay, yeah, Tampa Bay, you know, adds Foppola, loses LeCavalier, has some holes. I don't love Tampa Bay right now.
Well, but I mean, I think that if you look at the Leafs and the Lightning as two teams that are both sort of defensively weak. I think you would take the Lightning offense over the Leafs offense. No?
Maybe there's there's more star power, but again, you've replaced Vincent LeCavalier with Filppula. Okay, and we know that the Detroit Red Wings didn't want to pay Filppula the amount of money he got in Tampa.
Right.
I think LeCavalier, even at this age, is better than Filppula if you look at his overall game. And you haven't – well, I mean, Ben Bishop was brought in last year, but, you know, is he going to be good enough, you know, as a number one goalie? Is Lindback going to have to split the time with Bishop? You know, is Victor Hedman going to take the next step? The Lightning score a lot of goals, and they have two of the best forwards in the NHL, if not the two best forwards in the NHL. But yeah, I would agree that they're probably, for me, a borderline playoff team in the East.
I mean, you know, overall, you look at the Leafs have more depth up front, right? I mean, mm-hmm. they have guys, and they sign Clarkson, and they bring in Boland. And they have other guys who can fill roles. But Tampa Bay is really top-heavy, right? So, I mean, Drouin obviously would be a great addition, but if Drouin doesn't take that step, and he very well may, then you're really looking at a huge drop-off, which they had last year. You know, if you look at their roster last year near the end of the season, half the time you don't recognize it.
Sure. It was, the Stamkos and then a bunch of scrubs.
Yeah.
News out of Phoenix, as we speculated, the Mikhail Bodker deal is now complete. 2 years contract with the Phoenix Coyotes, an average annual value of $2.55 million. So Bodker gets 2 years and $5.1 million to re-sign in Phoenix.
Yeah.
You know, probably what we expected and should sort of be assigned to Nazem Kadri.
I don't remember what we said. I think it was, 2 years, around four or five, around there.
Somewhere in that vicinity.
Yeah, Kadri never different, Drew, in that Bodker did have arbitration rights for whatever reason, chose to forego those rights. Kadri coming off a huge season, Bodker's never had that kind of season. But the idea of the bridge contract is, you know, I'm on board with you there.
You still have a lot of RFAs unsigned. Alex Pietrangelo, we talked about Kadri. What about Jared Cowan in Ottawa?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's guys out there.
Derek Stepan in New York.
Hodgson in Buffalo. I mean, you still got there's still some intriguing storylines off the ice, you know, as we, you know, prepare to finally get back on the ice. But these are good players. Like, these are key parts of these teams, and they're fighting over dollars and cents.
Right, and the question is, do they fight beyond the start of training camp? Do they fight beyond Wednesday or Thursday when training camps open in the NHL? And that's, I mean, I think a lot of these guys don't, but I think some of them do, and the longer it drags out into training camp, the more contentious the issue will be.
It's weighed by the importance to the team, too, right, Drew? If you look at it, I mean, Pietrangelo is a huge cog in what St. Louis is trying to do. Kadri is important, but less so than Pietrangelo. And then you look at, you know, Cowan, he's a big cog, but they can get by without him for a little bit.
Right.
And Hodgson, a really big cog in a team, that's pretty bad.
Right.
So, I mean, if they're going to be pretty bad without him or pretty bad with him, it's that old theory on, what's his name, the running back. I'm forgetting the Dallas.
Emmitt Smith?
No, not Emmitt Smith. Before him.
Julius Jones?
No, they traded.
Herschel Walker.
Yeah, Herschel Walker. The idea is you're going to be bad with him, bad without him. So you can afford to wait.
Sure. I mean, and that's a valid point, probably. I mean, and the truth is, if lots of these teams are going to be bad, they'd rather be really bad than just middling bad. I mean, middling bad doesn't mean you turn it around that quickly. Very bad means you get a top draft pick, usually. Anyways, let's go to break. When we come back, it's one final segment. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on tsn1290.ca.
Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, stop singing. One final segment.
Remus, keep singing.
Hey, hey, hey.
Remus Thick.
One final segment for this Saturday afternoon in the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Reminder, 9:30 p.m. Winnipeg time tonight. The Jets Young Stars, the Oilers Young Stars, live from Penticton, British Columbia. Dennis Bayak, Brian Munns, Shane Knighty with the call. Another programming note, next Saturday we are off Yom Kippur. If it's good enough for Sandy Koufax, it's good enough for us. So we will return in 2 weeks' time, Saturday, September 21st, 12 noon p.m. with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our fantasy hockey preview show, getting you ready for everything you need to know for your hockey draft. And then the Saturday following that, Saturday, September 28th, our comprehensive season preview where we go division by division, team by team.
And the show after that will be two games in.
Yeah, season will have started. It'll be the day after the home opener and the day before the Temu game.
That's right. And a little programming note as well. Next Sunday's exhibition game between the Winnipeg Jets and the Ottawa Senators will feature Mr. Richard Pollock, pre- and post-game show.
Mm. Joined by Rick Ralph, Michael Remus' second father.
Ah. Somewhere Rick is screaming and driving his head into the wall. You got the audio ready for everyone's favorite segment? It's called Escapades.
Happy Rick's going to have me. He told me, you know, because of my association with Remus, I wasn't allowed to be seen with him in public.
I can understand that.
Escapades?
Escapades. Speaking of somebody who shouldn't be seen with in public, it's Ezra Ginsberg, ladies and gentlemen. So, Ezzy, this story is admittedly a couple weeks old at this point, but this is actually the first time I think we've been all together in studio in about a month or so.
Yeah.
You went and you purchased an Apple. Yes. Well, why don't you say maybe outline for everybody the time that you purchased the assorted products.
Yeah, good point, Drew.
The different products you purchased.
Yep.
And, you know, just sort of the general type of store that the items were purchased at.
I'm going to start off with a little preamble. I tend to make bad food choices, and I basically eat out for every single meal, lunch, dinner. I probably haven't grocery shopped in about a month.
But as we heard on last week's Escapades, you came home late at night and
right.
You fried a hamburger and pierogies at 3 a.m.
Right. And so, I admittedly, I don't make food choices, but, you know, for people who don't follow me, I kind of explained to this, and I was tweeting at a company we can't mention, but a couple of weeks ago, I literally had no food in my fridge, and all of the grocery stores were closed. So I happened to go to this convenience store thinking I'm going to get some items for the next morning's breakfast / lunch. And basically what happened with this Apple is that...
What did you purchase?
Well, if you want all the items, it was a chicken burrito. It was Kraft Dinner.
In a box.
It was Kraft Dinner in a box. And I think it was the last one on the shelves. It was kind of dusty. And then there was also a 1 liter of skim milk. So, I mean, really, it's not that unhealthy.
And
I mean,
two apples.
Right, and the two apples. I mean, so the milk's healthy. The Kraft Dinner's healthy.
Kraft
Dinner's recommended by all medical professionals.
What's wrong with Kraft Dinner? It's pasta and cheese.
A lot of margarine.
It works for me. I don't put margarine in it. I put a little bit of... I put margarine in it. But basically, what happened was, with one of these apples, I took it to work in the morning. By the way, everybody I work with has already heard this, because I actually almost did get food poisoning. Basically, what happened with this apple is I washed the apple at work. I was eating it in the morning for breakfast. You know, I like to have an apple or a banana for breakfast. And what ended up happening was I took another bite of this apple, like the second bite of the apple, and I bit into it, and it had this poisonous, rank, you know, taste to it. And I cut open the apple to see what was going on, and I tweeted it out. I've since deleted it. But basically, this apple had some type of, you know, growth or rot.
It was rotten.
It was a rotten apple.
There was a worm in there.
A worm in there.
It looked fine on the outside.
It looked fine on the inside.
It was just a rotten apple. Like,
but,
you know, fruit goes rotten.
Right,
it's
the thing that was interesting about this is it looked fine on the outside. When I took a bite out of it, it was clear that it had been rotten for like 2 weeks. And I have no idea how long this apple was on the shelves. And, you know, I was a little bit sick. But the moral of this story is that I'm going to buy apples at grocery stores and not convenience stores. And, I mean, I'm learning here. I mean, you know.
31 years old, ladies and
gentlemen. As Ed Tate from the Free Press said, it's like buying steak at a gas station.
It's true. And I mean, basically, I've learned my lesson, and I know...
Sees the picture, you should tweet it out again. Now, there's no reason to take it down, but if you tweet out the picture again, it actually...
It was revolting.
I almost threw up when I saw the picture.
Right. I guess I'll tweet it out again, but yeah. It's difficult to... Yeah, I'll tweet it out, but I think I still have it in my phone, so...
It was a revolting picture.
But you ate the Kraft Dinner like 11:30 after you bought it, right?
Well, the Kraft Dinner was like my munchies, right? So I had the Kraft Dinner snack. I don't know, it was like 11:30. I mean,
the whole box?
See, this is why Jordan Sisiwa, who does the weigh-in, he's also a personal trainer, wants to get me into the gym because he knows that it's reached desperate levels.
You would be his white whale.
Yes.
You know what? That's what you would be. If he gets you into the gym and is able to train you, he's accomplished everything.
Well, he's been calling me Baby Beluga, so...
Team Canada jerseys.
Yes, love them. I'm the only one that likes them.
I don't mind them. I know everybody's getting so
mad
about them.
I don't care about them. I mean, it's a jersey. If you don't like it, don't buy it.
What's wrong with them?
I don't know. People were going crazy about it.
People were saying it looks like the Petro-Canada logo. It's a jersey. It looks fine.
You know, it's a jersey. If you don't like it, just don't buy it. It's like a sweater in the store. If you don't like it, don't buy it.
Yeah, if you go to a convenience store and there's an Apple there and you don't want to buy it, don't buy it.
Let that be a lesson for everybody in future.
I
mean,
I love it.
To get so upset about it, I mean, holy moly. It's like,
I just care if they win. I don't care what they're wearing.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you know, you're shocked that it might be a marketing campaign and they want to sell jerseys. Whether, you know, I promise you that once Sochi rolls around, you're going to be seeing 1,000 people wearing those jerseys at all times.
Of course.
So, you know, don't pretend you're all upset about it if you're not going to. I mean, seriously, it's a sweater. Buy it, don't buy it. It doesn't matter. Let's wrap it up with cheers and jeers.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stinks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Which one of you wants to start?
I'll start. I'm going to cheer. The Vancouver Canucks are going to retire Pavel Bure's jersey. I believe it's on November 2nd.
So sounds familiar.
He's going to go up to the rafters with Stanny Smeal, Trevor Linden, Marcus Naslund. He only played 8 years there, I think it was, 7 or 8 years. But, you know, he was one of the most exciting, dynamic players to ever play in the NHL. I think that's great. So it's going to be a fun night. I think it's early November that they're going to be doing that. So look forward to that.
Richard Pollock?
My cheer goes to David Clarkson. I don't know if people came across this report, but he went to the New Jersey Devils offices and went to personally thank Lou Lamoriello for everything he had done for him over the course of his career in New Jersey. For him and his wife, Lou Lamoriello was very nice to him and his wife and took him in his family. Remember, David Clarkson,
undrafted,
came a long way, worked really hard, and was given a chance by Lou Lamoriello and the New Jersey Devils. He opted to sign with his hometown team in Toronto, but he went back and thanked Lou Lamoriello, and to me, that's a classy thing, and that exhibits a lot of character.
I would agree with you there. And I'll wrap up cheers and jeers just with it's not really a cheer or a jeer, frankly, but it's just a remembrance more than anything. It was 2 years ago today that the locomotive air tragedy occurred in Russia that cost us an entire hockey team, the locomotive Yaroslavl team in the KHL. Of course, we lost Brad McCrimmon, local native of Manitoba here. So we just wanted to remember that 2 years ago today, it was the locomotive tragedy, and that even though we've lost those people, they're still close with us, and we still remember them 2 years after the fact of that tragedy, and hope, pray, that it never happens again. That's it. Amen. For this Saturday and the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. A big thank you to our guests, Dennis Bayak, George Johnson from the Calgary Herald, and Scott Powers from ESPNChicago.com. A big thank you to our sponsors, the Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba and Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. In case you missed any of this program, it will be available both on TSN1290.ca, on IllegalCurve.com, and of course also available on iTunes, where you can subscribe to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast edition. Get it sent to your iPod each and every week. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is www.IllegalCurve.com. Reminder, Young Stars Tournament action continues tonight, 9:30 p.m. here in Winnipeg. The Jets Young Stars against the Oilers Young Stars. Dennis Bayak, Brian Munns, and Shane Knighty with the call here on TSN 1290. Big thank you to producers Michael Remus and producer Tim. For Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
You've been listening to
the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
Catch the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.